page number 223. Page 223.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard not his very cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I.
I'm Amen. Good morning. I'm ready. Are you?
Amen.
You got me a mansion?
Amen.
Waiting on me?
Yes, sir.
Them streets of gold. I can't have none of it here, but I'm going to get me some up there. It's good to be here this morning. It is nice, beautiful weather for February the 3rd. It's supposed to be 70 degrees tomorrow. And snow maybe Thursday. And so everybody's sick, got some kind of crud, and I wonder why.
One foot.
I wish you'd get off of that foot of snow keg. She's not wanting much. She just wants 1 foot of snow in the middle of the week so she can miss school. And then she wants it to be 80 degrees the day after that and buds and blooms.
Hey, I second that.
Okay. Well, I guess we can pray for it, right? No, some of us, here's the problem. Some of y'all praying against each other out there. So we got that divided house. That's what we got. Sir? Tell her to take a sick day. She won't do that. Do you tell her? She wants to slide down the hill. This time, if we get a snow and she slides down the hill, I'm going to videotape it and we can put it up on the screen. It's really funny. Yeah, she's done that too. Ice and everything else. It is good to be here. It's good to see all of y'all, and we've still got some folks out sick, and we sure would like to see them back able to be with us. We'll get to prayer requests here in just a little bit, but this morning, the second time the plate is passed around will be for the building fund, and you know, the building fund does stuff like our new sound system at carpet over there, repaint this, that, and heat and air in the gym and stuff like that. So we're thankful for what God has blessed us with. We're thankful for your generosity and giving to God's cause. So the second time that it comes around, that's what it's for. Tonight is the business meeting. And I can't stress enough how important it is to be plugged into the business meeting, because really, if you're not plugged into the business meeting, you don't know what we're spending God's money on. And we do have a few things coming up, and also some decisions to make about supporting of missionaries and stuff like that. So I don't know any other way to say this, but I know it's Super Bowl night, and I don't care. God comes first. All right, nursery attendance this morning, Georgia and Mandy. Next Sunday will be Cindy and Jared. Any other announcements? By the way, we're going to load up in the van here in a little bit after we eat. The kids, take them to the bounce house. And so it's going to be fun. It is. Y'all ever been to the bounce house?
The trampoline park.
I call it the bounce house. I'm not technical enough to get that big trampoline word out, but I bounce when I walk. Yeah. No, I break too easily. But the kids enjoy it, and so I'm looking forward to that. So y'all pray for safe travel for us on the way over and back, and that nobody gets hurt.
Page number 12. Page 12.
I was once a sinner, but I came pardoned to receive from my Lord.
It's mine,
oh yes, it's mine,
and
the wide road
will make
me.
in my name, there I will be also.
Amen.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
Good to see all these smiling faces out here. Oh, and I have heard it rumored that tonight, business meeting, we're going to be deciding on whether to charge admission into choir practice. No, I'm joking. We're not. But we did have a good time in choir practice.
Amen.
It's a lot of fun.
Amen.
But we're going to sing for you this morning one that I don't think has ever been done as a choir special. I know you know it. You've heard it. But we're going to do it a little bit different as a choir special.
I forgot the name of it.
Camping in Canaan's Land.
Preaching without notes. Y'all pray for me and yourself, because there's no telling what's coming out. But I do like it. It's more liberating, I guess, for lack of a better way of putting it. We're going to be talking a little bit about glory to God this morning. We're going to be reading a little bit out of 1 Samuel and John chapter 11. And I have very limited notes, so God has laid this sermon on my heart, so we're going to do the best that we can with it. I do desire your prayers. It's just good to be here. It's good to see the sun shining outside. I can't think of anywhere I'd rather be right now than here in the house of the Lord. If I ask you a question, I'm not going to, but in your mind you can answer it. What's the biggest problem you see in the world today? You'd get a whole lot of different answers, no doubt. A lot of us would think of a bunch of different things that are going on in the world that are a big problem, and there are many of them. But to me, Whenever I ask myself this question, the number one thing that I think is wrong with the world today is that man has forgotten to God be the glory. Let's think about that for just a second. Mankind, that's us, all of us, have placed ourselves outside of where God intended for us to be. Now, you think about what did God intend for this world to be? As we go down through and talk about this just a little bit, keep that thought in mind. Have you ever gotten in a group and started talking about your favorite subject? Maybe it's whatever it is, hunting, fishing, whatever. And I know us guys, you know, that's... the first storyteller never gets the biggest fish, ever, right? Mine's always bigger and better and all that stuff. And it's because, a lot of it is because is we want to be recognized as somebody. And isn't that part of the problem in the world today, that we've gotten ourselves out of the role that God has intended for us to be in? When we want to recognize ourselves and each other as someone special. Well, you know, you are special in the fact that God gave His only begotten Son just for you. You're special to God. He paid the price. But in our mind, we want to talk about our favorite subject most of the time, and that is self. What I want, what I like. I'm guilty just like everybody else. That's one of the problems that we have. We want to talk about ourselves, what I've done, what I've accomplished, how big is my bank account, what kind of car do I drive, what kind of house do I live in, what kind of church do I go to, what. And the focus should be on what God wants us to do, what God has for us. Our favorite subject is self. I got a question for you. What did we ever do? What have we done that we deserve to be placed on this pedestal of people looking up to us? What have we done? You know, yesterday was a glorious day, and I worked around the house. I've got some stuff, projects going on I'm trying to get done with before good fishing gets here, right? You know, I mean, I'm focused on that fishing, right? So I'm trying to get done with all these deals, and it's beautiful outside, and so I'm tired yesterday afternoon. So I go out on the back patio, and the sun's shining, and, you know, it's 60 degrees, and I sit down, and I'm just relaxing, And one of my dogs comes by. Oh, they're both there. And I'm just looking at my dog there for a second. Now, you may think this is crazy, but I see my dog's foot and the way that his leg is placed and the way his foot contours to the ground. And I just get to thinking about God created that animal by speaking. And I say that to say this. They're so far below what we are, but think of all the things that God placed in these animals. I mean, just the way they move and the way they act. He gives them these built-in abilities. That's what God done just with a spoken word. And I got to thinking about that. What have I ever done? I mean, sometimes you get back down to the basics and you see just the smallest things that God has done over a pet that we love and that loves us. And you just look at everything that God put into making that animal. It really brings us down, in my opinion, to what have I ever done? The answer is nothing. I've not ever done anything. I've never created anything. Have you? Well, some people might say, well, I've invented this and I've invented that and I'm a smart person. I've done all these things. Did you create the molecules that was used to build the basic building blocks of whatever it was you invented? So, in essence, basically, all man has ever done is used what God thought and spoke into existence in the basis forms. We can't create it. So, what have we ever done to deserve to be placed in the place of glory? God did it all. He did. He created. I mean, think about that for a second. You get to thinking about creation and you know, maybe evolution and all this stuff that's going around out there in the world today. Well, you know what? This creation disproves evolution every day. I've heard people say, well, you know, it was just a random act of two dust particles colliding in space. Who created the dust particles then? Basic physics tells us that you can't have anything without having something to start with. Only a great God can do what we have. Look at, as I was looking at the dog and God spoke that, I was thinking about man as well, and God loved us, you and I, so much that He reached down and out of the dust He formed Adam. And He breathed the breath of life into him and He made him a living soul, a being that an eternal being, folk. That's you and I. And you think of, well, I'm no doctor, I don't know a whole lot of anything, but have you ever seen a human's foot and all the little bones that are in it? And how the ankle works and all these little bones, they move, and the joints to the toes, and then all the ligaments that go to it, and then all the nerves that allow you to be able to feel pressures and be able to do things. Touch, smell, hearing, sight, taste. All the things that we take for granted came out of this great God that created everything. And here we are wanting to be somebody. Glory to God. See, we've gotten ourselves out of the role that God ever intended for us to be in. Why did God create all this? You know, doesn't that have to be a part of the question that we ask ourselves? Why did God create all this? Well, you know, God has always been. God will always be. No beginning, no end. Time means nothing to God. But God desired this relationship that could only come from a being that had the freedom of choice. And He created everything that we know, and He created man, and He gave us that choice. In all the garden, in all the greatness of the Garden of Eden, everything that was created there was for the benefit of man, except for one thing. And without that one thing, that choice, then God didn't get the glory. You see, God gets honor and glory when we choose His way over our way. It's the choice that gives God the glory. We're all sinful creatures. None of us are perfect. But when we are tempted or are faced with something in this life and we seek God's direction in our life, instead of doing what feels good to us, God gets glory from that. The Bible tells us it's like a sweet incense being burnt and offered up. I was thinking on this. I get these sermon thoughts and ideas in my head, and I think about them for sometimes days and weeks, and I can't get them out of my head, because I get to thinking about everything that God has done for us, and then what are we doing for Him? What did God do for us? For one thing, He created us, as we said. Without Him, we wouldn't even exist. I thank God for so many things that He's done for me. He blessed me with being born in the United States of America, where I have the freedom to come and worship Him without fear. The rest of the world, folk, don't have that. God did that. God delivered the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. Israel was God's chosen, and they disobeyed God, and God punished them. Well, He's a mean old God, right? No. God wants us to be prepared to spend eternity with. Do you realize that this life that we live and the things that go on in this life that we live and the hardships is only preparing us to be who God wants us to be so that He can spend eternity with us? Bumps in the road. Adversity. Trials. The things that are going on in your life is building you into the person, when you trust God to see you through them, it's building you into the person that God wants you to be. Nothing good ever comes except to those who seek it for good. You see, you can look at it as a glass half full or a glass half empty. I choose to look at it as a glass totally full, because it's full of something. It may only be half full of water or tea or whatever. The other half's full of air. God created that as well. So how do you look at the things that are going on in your life? Well, the glass half empty. No. It's full. We choose what to fill it up with. So you take whatever you're going through in this life and you look at it in the proper perspective, and then you can see God working to make you who He wants you to be. And oh, by the way, that's not always necessarily who we want to be, is it? God delivered the children of Egypt out of Egyptian bondage. They got off down there because they disobeyed God, and God punished them, not because He was wanting to punish them, but because He wanted them to be better at worshiping Him. He gave us the Ten Commandments, not so that we could look at them and say, well, I can't do that, and I can't do this, and I can't do that. He gave us the Ten Commandments. He gave us the law. He gave us His Word so that we can learn how to better please Him. He gave us Jesus to pay the price for our sins so that we could be where He is. You see, it really is all about how we look at things, is it not? Because God does everything that He does to make us be able to better worship, honor, and glorify Him. And when we do, guess what? He blesses us. That's God's desire. God's desire is to bless us. God's desire is for us to enjoy this life. In Deuteronomy, we're told, Behold, the Lord our God hath showed us His glory and His greatness. And we have heard His voice out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God doth talk with men and He liveth. We serve a living God. And God has spoken to us. It's called the Holy Bible. And it not only contains the Word of God, it is the Word of God given to us. I think we're going to read out of 1 Samuel chapter 6 if you want to turn over that way. And the Philistines, y'all remember them? They were a very warlike people, and they had stolen the Ark of the Covenant. You know the Ark of the Covenant? We've studied about that. That was where God dwelt among His people there in the tabernacle. He would come there in His glory. Okay, these Philistines had stolen it, and they took it over there and they placed it in their temple in the same place where their god Dagon lived. Or stayed. He didn't live there. He's a dead god. That's a misspeak on my part. But the statue, they placed it there. They came in there the next morning. Guess what? That statue of this Dagon god was bowed down on its face before the Ark of the Covenant. And I don't know how that happened during the middle of the night. I'm sure no one went in there and done that, right? So they took it and they set it back up. They stood their statue back up, and the next morning they came in there and this statue of their God was bowed down again before the Ark of the Covenant, and its head was cut off and its hands were taken or broken off. Other things happened to them during this time, and they realized that the Ark of the Covenant of God, which was the sign to the children of Israel that God dwelt with them, that's what was causing them their problems. They wanted to get rid of it, okay? They wanted to get rid of it. Now, we're going to get rid of this thing. It don't belong to us. It belongs over there. We're going to read 1 Samuel chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. The Ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines 7 months. Now, and think about this for a minute. As I've said that, but, you know, to the human thinking, worldly thinking, this Ark of this covenant, it's made out of gold. It's very valuable. It's physically valuable, right? So they stole it. They took it over there. All these things happened. It was there for 7 months. I want to tell you something, friend. You go over and you read the story when you get a chance. For those 7 months, God persecuted those Philistines. They couldn't wait to get rid of that Ark. They wanted rid of it. Verse 2, and the Philistines called for the priest and diviners, saying, What shall we do with the Ark of the Lord? Tell us wherewith we shall send it to His place. And they said, If you send away the Ark of God of Israel, send it not empty, but in any wise return Him a trespass offering. Then ye shall be healed, and it shall be known to you why His hand is not removed from you. See, God was working not only with the Israelites, but He was working on these Philistine people, and He was showing them that He is God. They're diviners, if you will, or they're fortune tellers. They said, don't just send it back. Give them a gift with it. In other words, apologize for taking it. And then you'll understand why His hand is not removed from you. You see, they understood why God was persecuting them is because that they had went against the laws of God. Verse 4, then said they, what shall be the trespass offering which we shall return to him? They answered, 5 golden emerods and 5 golden mice, according to the number of the lords of the Philistines. For one plague was on you all and on your lords. Wherefore ye shall make images of your emerods and images of your mice with that mar the land, and ye shall give glory unto the God of Israel. Peradventure he will lighten his hand from off you and from off your gods and from off your land. You see what he said? Ye shall give glory to the God of Israel. Don't kid yourself for one second, friend. God could have taken that ark by his divine power and just removed it from their presence and put it back in the possession of the Israelites. I want you to know something, friend, this morning, if you don't get anything else from this sermon, God does what God does so that we can see that he deserves the glory. When he delivered the children of Israel from Egyptian bondage, you go over and you read all that, and you can see that God could have delivered them any time he wanted, any way he wanted. The plagues were to show the power of God. The parting of the Red Sea, that was God showing them his power. God prepared Moses to lead them out, but they didn't leave on Moses' power. They left on God's power. The Philistines, they had taken something from God, and God persecuted them for not honoring him. In Psalms 19 we read, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. John chapter 11. We're going to read there in just a second. I want you to know something. I know you know this, but sometimes we need to be reminded that everything that we see, plumb down to my puppy dog's foot, screams out the glory of God, the power of God, the majesty of God. The grass, the buds, the flowers. It's all because of God that we have any of these things. Verse 1, chapter 11, John. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Now, that's a whole other sermon, a whole other story. But if you remember, Mary broke this valuable container of ointment and washed the feet of Jesus and dried his feet off with her hair. And she couldn't have really given him any more valuable gift. She was showing her love to Jesus. You see, that really is what honor and glory to God is us showing our love to him for what he has done for us. It was the same Mary, verse 13. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, whom thou lovest is sick. Now, I don't want to get too far off in the weeds, and I don't want to chase too many rabbits, but I want you to see here that they sent unto Jesus Christ, and they told him that the one that you love is sick. Now, why does good things, or why does bad things happen to good people? The Bible tells us it rains on the just and the unjust. You know, none of us are without sin. What causes the problems we have in this life? It's real simple. It's a little three-letter word, and it's sin. That's why our bodies ache and our hair gets white and it falls out. And all these things is because of sin. And sin really is nothing more than not doing things God's way. It's pretty simple. Jesus loved Lazarus. He was a close personal friend of this family, not only as God, but also as a human being. He loved Lazarus. They said, the one that you love is sick. Now they knew that Jesus could heal him. They knew it. Verse 4, when Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Now, think with me to the rest of the story. Jesus put off going down there for, what, three or four days? I don't remember. I read it. My mind's blank. Forgive me. But, you see, he just told them, this sickness isn't for death. But he put off going down there. Guess what happened? Lazarus died. And then Jesus went down there. He had been in the ground for 4 days. He was stinking. And Jesus raised him from the dead. You see, Jesus waited till Lazarus died, and then he raised him from the dead, so that the world would know, so that these people would know, so that Israel would know that he is God. Matthew 28:18, we read it in our class this morning, just that says, "All power is given to me in heaven and in earth." See, Jesus could have healed Lazarus from where he was. He didn't have to go down there. But he wanted us to know the power of God. He let Lazarus die, and he raised him up. To God be the glory. First Corinthians 10:31 says, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. You see, that's where we run afoul a lot of times of God's plan, is that we do things in our life to bring glory to ourselves. And in all reality, we should be focused on everything that we do bringing glory to God. Amen. I want you to know something this morning, so listen to me. Listen to me. God does not want you to fail. You know, sometimes I think we get this thought in our mind that God is this God that's sitting up on his throne, and he's watching old Sam Alt down there, and he's waiting on me to do something so that he can whip me. Nothing further from the truth. Also, a common theology in a lot of churches today is that God is this benevolent God that's sitting on his throne up there, and he's just waiting on Sam Alt to ask him for something so that he can pour out blessings upon him. Nothing further from the truth. I want you to know that God doesn't want you to fail. God wants you to prosper. God wants you to enjoy life. God wants you to enjoy the things of his creation, but only after you put him in the place that he demands. That's number one. Not number two. Not number 1.1. Number one. You see, when we can get ourselves out of the way, then we place ourselves in a position that God will bless us. The Bible tells us to seek ye first the kingdom, and then all these other things will be added to you. You see, we live in a world that focus on instant gratification. I mean, you think about it for a minute. We have a lot of people in this world, a whole bunch of people in this world that think that we owe them something. And I want it right now. I got news for you. God don't owe you nothing. God don't need you any more than he needs me. But he desires that relationship with you. And when you desire that relationship with him, he'll bless you. God doesn't want us to fail. God just wants us to do things his way. God does what God does for his honor and his glory, not mine. The cold hard truth of the matter is that this life, this journey that we're on is nothing more than preparation for eternity. Now, you may be sitting out there, and if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then your eternal destination is sealed. But the reward you get is still up in the air, because that depends on what you do between now and when you meet your Maker. If you're sitting out here in the crowd and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, let me tell you something, friend. You also have a destination for eternity, and it's a place called hell. It was created for Satan and his angels, but it is having to be enlarged all the time because people are rejecting God's plan, Jesus. You're still breathing, you're still here, you're still hearing the word, praise the Lord, you get another chance. But don't kid yourself. Hell is as eternal as heaven is. Choose wisely. Choose wisely. We're all preparing for eternity. Which eternity is up to you? And you see, when you choose God's way, which is Jesus Christ, and that shed blood that covers our sin, then you honor God in that choice. And when you choose to serve him in this life after that, he'll reward you for it. The Bible tells us that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now listen to me, this is important. That didn't say that he is a rewarder of those who sometimes seek or serve him. When you diligently seek him, you are striving to your best to do what God wants you to do. And let me tell you what, he gives us the directions. It's called the Bible. And if you'll read it and study it and apply it to your life, it'll make you not only a better person, but it will prepare you to be the person that God wants to spend eternity with in heaven. We need to get ourselves out of the way. Guess what? The only righteousness that I have, or that any of you have, is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that is your righteousness. That is the only way that God can look at you. If you reject Jesus, God will reject you. When we stand before Jesus in judgment, there's two judgments. Jesus is the head of both of them. Remember, all power is given. He has the power to judge, and he's going to judge. And the Bible tells us that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is the Lord Jesus, the Savior, the Messiah. For those of us who have accepted him, we're going to stand before him at the judgment seat of Christ, and we are going to answer for what we do in this body, friend. It's not got anything to do with your salvation. But don't kid yourself. God knows what you're doing and where your heart is. Just choose carefully. If you're at the second judgment, the great white throne judgment, doesn't have anything to do with your salvation, because if you're there, let me tell you something, you're lost. And you've lost your only opportunity to spend eternity with God. And at that judgment, he's going to tell many people, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. And they're going to be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. And that, my friend, is the eternal separation from God. You see, when we get ourselves out of the way and we look at God's creation, everything that we have points to God. Because without Him, we would have nothing. Oh, by the way, without Him, we would not exist. My prayer is that the world would open their eyes and come to the realization that when we honor God, we honor Him by accepting His way to get to Him, and that's Jesus Christ. And oh, by the way, after that, we honor Him by serving. 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 You know what that means? You're not number one. Serving Him. It's all about Him, after all. Listen, I want you to know this. God wants to bless you. I believe that in my heart. But God will only bless you when you serve Him. You can't be off over there where the Philistines are at and expect God to bless you. He's going to whoop you until you get back to where He wants you to be if you belong to Him. Daddy used to work me over pretty good. Didn't make me any less His son. Didn't mean He didn't love me. Actually, it meant He loved me a lot. He wanted me to be as good as I could be. My Heavenly Father wants the same thing from us. We need to get ourselves out of the way and realize that what we do in this short little life that we have here on this earth should be to honor and glorify Him. And then watch what He does to bless you. We owe God everything. We're nothing without Him. So we got some soul searching to do, right? Amen. Well, preacher, I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I've been saved for a long time. I know where I'm going. Praise God. How are you doing in the meantime? Preacher, I hadn't asked Jesus to save my soul. Thank God you're here this morning, or you're hearing this word, because God has blessed you with another opportunity. All you have to do is trust and believe. Ephesians tells us that we are saved by the grace of God. You see, even our salvation, even our eternal salvation, is only a gift of God. It's not about what we do in there. You're saved by the grace of God through your faith in Jesus Christ, His way, His plan, His Son, our Savior, the Messiah. I pray and I pray and I pray that God would help me to be better today than I was yesterday. And tomorrow I'll pray the same prayer again. Do we really just want to be who God wants us to be? Well, you know what? There's a lot of y'all sitting out there that has a lot more abilities and talents than I do. But what I'm given, my responsibility is to do the best that I can with what God gave me. Are you? Are you doing the best that you can? Today's a good day to start. You know He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. All we have to do is that little word. It's called repent. And repentance really means acknowledging that God is right and that we're wrong and turning from and walking away from that sin. Doing our best not to do it again. All you have to do is repent. Confess. God will forgive you. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, all you have to do is trust and believe. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Song leader and pianist comes. Stand with me and bow for a word of prayer, please. Father, as we come to you at this time, Lord, I just pray that your will be done in each and every life that's here. Lord, help us that we would understand that it's all about what you did for us. It's all about what you do for us. It's all about how that we can be better at serving you. And Lord, I pray that we all would focus on serving you in spirit and in truth and walking daily to be a better me, that I might please you better. And Lord, through that walk, I pray, Lord, that you would place me in the path of someone that don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and that you would present an opportunity for me to present Jesus to a lost person that they might see the light and be saved before it's eternally too late. Open doors for us, Lord, but give us strength and courage to walk through those doors. Lord, I know, Lord, we know that when we go in your power, we cannot be defeated. It's when we get outside of your will and your power that we are defeated in this world. I pray, Lord, your guidance, your direction, and your strength be upon each and every one here and upon this church, that we might change lives for Jesus. Lord, the need is great in this world that we live in, but you're greater than all. I give you all the honor and the glory, Lord. Without you, I'm nothing. Thank you for the blessings you give me in my life. And I pray these things in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Page 263.
When the world
you know there is. God cares for you. He cared so much that He gave His only begotten Son just for you. You know, God cared for us so much that he sent the very best he had. That was his son, Jesus Christ. Why can't we, as people, understand that we owe him more than we can ever pay? Why can't we understand that we just really get up of a morning and we put one foot in front of the other? The daily. And try to serve him better today than we did yesterday. It's really simple. We're not perfect. We've all sinned. We all sin daily. Or at least I do. Maybe you're better than me. You're not good enough to save yourself. You're not good enough to please God without his help. Rely on him. He cares for us. He wants to bless us. We got to get our priorities right. As we sing another verse, what's the Spirit leading you to?
When your disappointments come and you feel so blue, there is someone who cares for you. When you need a friend till the end, there is someone who cares for you. Someone to care, someone to share.
Amen, Gene. Thank you for the song and Gail for playing so beautifully. Thank y'all for coming. It's a wonderful day to be in the house of the Lord. Amen.